Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to News Bucket. I'm Jody Miller. Let's get started. This just in, Rick Perry is still thinking of a third federal agency he'd like to eliminate. Rick Perry's recent brain freeze certainly was embarrassing, but we here at NewsBusted want to remind everyone that our current president won't speak to sixth graders unless he has two teleprompters. Last week, one of Herman Cain's sexual harassment accusers held a press conference featuring graphic and horrifying details. And that was just Gloria Allred. The protesters at Occupy Denver have chosen a border collie as their leader. Perfect choice. Because what represents the protesters' public defecation, public urination, and flea infestation better than a dog? Mexican gunmen invaded Texas last week before being chased out by an American SWAT team. Please, they were probably coming here to get more weapons from the Obama administration. Eddie Murphy decided he will not be hosting the Academy Awards this season. He then called himself racist for his decision. Dr. Conrad Murray may be sentenced up to 4 years in jail, or, as Lindsay Lohan calls it, a few hours. And finally, rumor has it that Kate Middleton may be pregnant. Wow, that Justin Bieber really gets around. Thanks for watching News Book, everybody. I'm Jody Miller. Make sure to subscribe to our videos on YouTube. See you guys next time.
Hello, 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 hello. This is David Graham. This is David Graham, not Dr. C. Robert Jones, PhD. He'll be back tomorrow night, but he's on the road tonight. He asked me to fill in. I'm going to fill in. I'll fill in whenever he asks me to, because it's a cool show. I will be on again at 9 doing that show, and you don't want to miss that. I've got an excellent, excellent guest coming up, Usama Dakdok. He is an Egyptian Coptic Christian, and he knows Islam better than most Muslims, and he's trying to point out to them that they're misled, that there's a lot of flaws, a lot of misunderstood things in the Quran. Mostly the religion is passed down by word of mouth. And when you actually read the Quran, most people will say, whoa, wow. So some people know the Quran and then pass it down fraudulently. But that's to further the cause of Islam, the taqiyya. So reactionaries, how are you? How's it going, man? Thanks for coming in. How's the microphone sound? All right? Sounds good? Everything good? Everything good? All right. Oh, we got G-Ski in the house. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Let's see what I got for I'm gonna play a couple of things here. I hope. Because I wanted to talk about this. I don't know if I've listened to most of Doc's shows, but if I missed one. I don't know if he's talked about this insider trading thing from 60 Minutes on Sunday. It's more than amazing. This is where they ambushed Nancy Pelosi. She didn't grant an interview, but agreed to call on them on a press conference. And I bet she wishes she'd granted an interview or not dealt with them, you know, altogether. But check this out.
I wanted to ask you why you and your husband back in March of 2008 accepted and participated in a very large IPO deal from Visa. At the time, there was major legislation affecting the credit card companies making its way through the House. And did you consider that to be a conflict of interest?
I don't know what your point is of your question. Is there some point that you want to make with that?
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, do you think it's all right for a speaker to accept a very preferential, favorable stock deal?
Well, we didn't.
At a time,
but that isn't
at
the
a
case.
Time when there's major legislation affecting that company in the House.
Well, first of all, let me say this. What we're talking about is an industry. What we're talking about is a Congress that passed more protections for credit card holders. The stock bill, you know, Carolyn Malone tried to defeat her last time. So the issue that you're talking about, first of all, what you're contending is not true. But second of all, we are very proud of our record of what happened. Now, what Congressman or Senator Durbin was able to do in the Senate is quite remarkable. And when he was able to achieve that, then it was on this same issue. It was included by our chairman, Barney Frank, in the bill. So, but it's when we had a president who could sign the bill. And that's when we passed what Carolyn Maloney had. There was no interest on the part of President Bush to sign such a bill. But the fact is, your basic premise is a false one.
You're right about
and
that.
And it's no use our spending any more time.
You participated in the IPO.
Well, I have many investments, but I don't.
And there was a bill very unfavorable to the credit card companies working.
But I will hold my record in terms of fighting the credit card companies as a Speaker of the House or as a member of Congress up against anyone's. We have passed the credit card holder Bill of Rights. I don't know what your point is. You like one bill better than another bill. No, this was the big, powerful bill, and in fact, we were able to achieve both once we were able to have a Democratic president. That's really all I've been saying. It only has appearance if you decide that you're going to have a elaborate on a false premise. But it's not true, and that's that.
And what part's not true?
Yes, that I would act upon an investment. Yes, sir.
It's now been.
What part's not true? It's documented. Now, okay, now, do you suppose, does anybody imagine a big screen TV down at Times Square or someplace where all the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street morons are watching this? They didn't see it because they don't have electricity down there in their tents, which have now been removed. But you see what I'm saying? Folks, this is David Graham filling in for Dr. C. Robert Jones. If you would like to call in, telephone number 347-884-8500. It's a great number. Use it. Imagine the Wall Street people who are down on the banks, who are down on the Wall Street, who are down on rich people, who are down on the Jews. Oh, yeah, you've heard it. Imagine them shifting their focus slightly to say, wait just a minute. Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Now, I'm not talking about the hardcore left people that are down there, the hardcore. I'm going to play another clip about the hardcore later on from Bishop Fulton Sheen from the 1960s. I'm not talking about the hardcore. I'm talking about the people who really believe that they're down there to protest, who have been incited to go down there, basically, who have been duped into going down there and protesting along with the crowd. You know, they've been added to the mob. I have a little bit more to say about that later, too, the mob. Some of them should splinter off and say, hold on a second. And they should get their own bullhorns and say and start talking about Nancy Pelosi. And start talking about all the other members of House and Congress and whatever. See, they're just siphoning off money by using this insider trading deal. Okay? And then, what, the companies go bankrupt after they short sell them? So then they're not around to remake any of that money. It's basically stealing right out of the economy. It's stealing money directly from the United States economy by doing the insider trading thing and seeing how much they can make. And why would they make a rule to make that illegal? Yeah, I thought so. They're not. They're not good. Rick Perry had a thing that let me see if I have that still. He did a campaign thing right after this came out. This is what Rick Perry had to say about that kind of stuff.
Congress certainly can't be trusted to watch our money, and now it's clear they can't be trusted with theirs. Any congressman or senator that uses their insider knowledge to profit in the stock market ought to be sent to jail, period. And Congress ought to pass a law that says so right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm Rick Perry, and I approve this message.
Yeah, so, I mean, this came out a few days ago, and I said, he's the first to say anything about it, officially in, like, a campaign ad. He was the first one. And I was listening to Doc's show from last night, and I remember from his show, he was asking, he had a really good show. Took it right up to the end and almost missed the end of his show because he was trying to get so much information out. But he mentioned the question, is Occupy done? See, because as of yesterday, right? And this is, I'm not counting the crap that went on today, right? As of yesterday, they were kicked out of the parks. Everyone was kicked out of their, out of their Occupy area, and the bulldozers came in and cleaned it up. And then, the ACLU will. That reminds me, I got a whole pocket full of notes here. The ACLU went to bat for him and got him back in. So he was asking, is the Occupy movement done? Is it finished? It's getting colder and all that, but I mean, the people just had enough of them. Are they bringing on their own bad press? You know, they don't have any. In a situation like that, if you get press, if you get covered in the media, it darn sure better be sympathetic coverage, right? Because that's the only thing that's going to do anything for you. If you're not getting sympathetic press, you may as well be done. You may as well go home. But the people, his what I thought of when he said that, and I wrote this down. The movement is going to dwindle to the point where the frustrated individuals left standing will expose themselves, because without the mob, there is no power. You know, the frustration leads to desperation, and then the desperate acts will become more actionable and easier to control with fewer people performing them. The people who are left down there are the hardcore, okay? Now, if you've never heard the word hardcore, let me introduce you to who the hardcore is. And this is the clip I mentioned from Bishop Fulton Sheen back in the 60s when all the revolution stuff was happening back then, all the protests, all the riots and all that, had something to say about that, because Bishop Fulton Sheen studied communism. And he had a TV show, a religious program, a sermon. A Sunday sermon, basically. And he would go on TV and he would preach his sermon. Well, a friend of mine, Joe Selvaki, sends me communist stuff. He's my communist contact. he sent me some stuff. And among that was a clip of this Bishop Fulton Sheen talking about communism and the hardcore. So listen to this clip about what he has to say about this. You will understand immediately what he's talking about. Oh, we got Tesla in the house. How are you, Tesla, my friend? Maybe you've heard this.
Robert H. Sangster has written very well of this insurgent war. And he tells how revolutions and disturbances of the country's peace take place. And they do it in three ways. First of all, those groups or leaders that would disturb our country and start an insurgent war, first of all, have a number of Minutemen. That is to say, they are those who can be called out very quickly for any kind of protest. All they have to do is call up a few colleges and a few other groups, and sure, they'll protest. They don't know what they're protesting against, but they're protesting. Those are the Minutemen, ready to run. Next comes the followers. The hangers-on, better. Hangers-on are the people see the placard, and they say, yes, this is right, and hear the shouting, and so the crowd is swelled. This is not dangerous. But down at the bottom, the hardcore. And in a group of 50,000, how many would belong to this hardcore? 200. And they'll be equipped with electronic loudspeakers. They're the ones you have to watch. So our country is in danger on the outside. It's in danger on the inside. We're living in days of violence, but the wrong kind of violence. The good Lord said, I came not to bring peace, but the sword, violence. But not the violence that hacks off the ear of the servant of a high priest like Peter, who proved himself a good fisherman because that was all he could do was hack an ear when he wished to cut a neck. And our Lord says, put that sword back. The other sword is the sword that runs inward to self, cutting out some of this egotism and this pride and this violence and this want of respect for law in our country. That's the kind.
Okay, so he had to tie his communist lesson into his sermon, so then he was kind of circling back around there to bring it back to, you know, the Bible story and stuff. But did you catch what he said? In a group of 50,000, there are 200. Of the hardcore. They are the ones who have a gathering of, you know, brain dead morons around them. And they're the ones, you know, where they say something and everybody does it back. This human megaphone thing is a new phenomenon where, you know, somebody will say, mic check, and then everybody around who is and says, mic check. And that gets everybody's attention. And then, like good little sheep, they'll say what they have to say one phrase at a time. I watched a clip the other day with a guy. It was a clip real time of the Occupy Wall Street thing. And this guy was harassing a police woman. She was standing there alongside of all the other cops. You know, they were forming a human barrier, so they couldn't cross the street at that point. And the kid was up in there, and he was like, you know, I want to know how to press charges. I want to know how to file a complaint. And they just weren't answering. You know, they just weren't. They've been trained. You know, when they do this, don't say anything. Don't acknowledge it. You know, you have to be controlled. And they were just standing there. It was somebody else was videoing this whole thing. And this woman, I mean, she cracked a smile at one point when he insulted her because, you know, what else is she going to do? So, he was hurling insults and stuff. And so then somebody walks up beside him and he looks at what's going on and he hears the guy say, you know, the main guy that was doing all the talking. He hears him say, well, I want to know how to file charges, you know, how to file a complaint against this officer right here. And then he that's all he needed to do. He turns around, hollers out, mic check. And then you can hear everybody, you know, a whole group of people, mic check. This individual right here, wants to know how. to file charges against that officer right there. Against that officer right there. You know, it's more of a lesson in how to be a sheep than anything else. But anyway, that's, like I said, I've never heard of that whole thing before. But that's so everybody can be heard who needs to say something. So everybody's around him. So the hardcore guys got up there with a megaphone. This is before they had the human mic check. He's up there with a megaphone, getting everybody riled up with chants. Chanting and the mob. Something about those two things go together to whip people into a frenzy and cause them to do things they would not do were it not for the energy of a mob. In its entirety, the mob, to some degree, has a life of its own. Now, there are forces. Because eventually a mob can get out of control, and it will turn on the people who created the mob, you know, at times. But there are forces who, through patience, propaganda, and perseverance, have mastered the power of the mob. They know, like, just how far to push and when to pull back. They know just what to say so that they can't get in trouble for inciting. They are, and the people who are controlling this are actually being controlled by another level above that. And what's strange about it is that level, that group, the higher group, has got more money than the people that they're protesting about in this case. You know, they're out of reach, this higher group. They're out of reach. They're like one step removed from access from the mob. If that mob suddenly got evidence and the people who aren't the hardcore, the people who are the sheep down there, if they got convinced that, hey, you know, Pelosi is a crook. Most of the other Congress people, we give them names and specific evidence and things like that. This is not legal for us, but they get away with it, you know. And they would turn their attentions to the proper target. You know, of course, then there's Soros who pays the ACLU or contributes to the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild to keep them safe. And the National Lawyers Guild, they're kind of like the hardcore. They might be like the go-between between the hardcore and the upper levels. They keep the focus off of the real crooks. So that's why the ACLU went to bat for the Wall Street people from Zucchini or Zuccotti Park. They went to bat for them about bringing their tents back in. Well, no, you had to make the rule before they moved in. You can't change the rules now. These people are going to bring their tents back. Mm-hmm. Okay. And another big presence down there is the National Lawyers Guild. And they are the ones who defend all the Gitmo detainees. They're the ones who defend the communists, you know, anybody with a communist sympathy. You know, that's what they defend. So, of course, I mean, they know what their job is, right? So, let me see. What was I going to do? Oh, the insurgent war. Let me do another quick clip from Bishop Fulton Sheen. I think this is...
Now we have another war. The other war is the war at home. It's the insurgent war. Yes. What's the insurgent war? The insurgent war is the war that comes from... Oh, from a breakdown of law and authority. Insurgent wars come from a revolution of protest, of being against something without being for anything.
Well, there you go. I mean, this is almost professorial. You know, it's back in 1963, I believe this was, or 64. You know, right at the height of of riots of that time. So, I mean, that's what's going on with that. He said, is that the end of it? No, it's not going to be the end of it because, you know, they're driven by the Occupy people. They are driven by and they are being trained by Saul Alinsky types because this is Saul Alinsky's specialty, this civil disobedience, this provocateur, this controlling of the mob, if you will. And they're going by the whole philosophy of if they bring a knife, you bring a gun. And that's what happened today. Okay? The thing is, there's a couple things going on today that I'm remembering from from the news that went on today. The violence stepped up, and the cops are on them, which is good, as they should be. One of the news stories at the top of the hour said, oh, there was a protester with blood streaming down his face. Boo-ba-dee-hoo. And I thought, good. The riot police have their batons drawn. Good. People are breaking the law. How much do you let them get away with? And where do you draw the line? If there's a small infraction, right? If there's a small infraction, and you're like, okay, I'll let that go. Well, the next thing is maybe just a little bit bigger, but you've set the precedent according to them, because, well, why can't I get away with that? You couldn't let him get away with that. And then in your mind, that the thing you let go first was a little bit lesser. But in their mind, no, that was way worse than what I did. Oh, why? Because you say so? All right, I'm rambling. So anyways, it's the whole philosophy of if they bring in a knife, you bring a gun. And today it stepped up. Today was a planned day of conflict. They planned it. What do they call it? The day of action. Well, they train in what is known as direct action conflict. That's what they teach at the Midwest Academy. What is the Midwest Academy? Well, that's a whole show in itself. It's a school that teaches Saul Alinsky direct action conflict tactics. And for the last 2 months, or the last, well, probably the last, well, maybe three, I don't know, they have been training SEIU people. So that union people can go in there into a protest and kind of co-opt it. They'll know what to say. They'll know how to do it. They get experience with speaking out in front of people and all this. But that's the attitude. So they're not going to go away. But like I said earlier, I think it's going to get to the point where there's going to be people that are going to say, you know what, I believed in what I came down here for, but I don't believe in what those people are doing over there. I don't believe I don't believe in getting arrested just for the sake of getting arrested. I mean, you know, it's like I would do it for my cause, but the cause has changed that these people are getting arrested for. There's no point in me getting arrested and being lumped in with them. You know, some of the people that still have a brain left, they're going to figure it out. So that's what they're going to do. Now, what was the other thing? Another note that I wrote down. The sex scandals of the last 2.5-3 weeks. First, we had Herman Cain for 2 weeks straight, and then the guy at the Penn State. As far as I know, that's pretty much a distraction. You know why? Because sex sells. Everybody is going to be distracted by a sex story. It's used to mask other big moves until, like, the dust settles, right? So it doesn't get covered. So does that mean that after the dust settles, there's no story? All right, I'll be right back.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Occupy Wall Street protesters in cities across the country, marking 2 months of demonstrations with renewed marches and rallies, the biggest by far in New York City, where thousands have been trying to disrupt traffic, both on surface streets and in the subways. Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso is live at City Hall in Manhattan with the very latest.
Chris, we've seen dozens of protesters arrested here outside City Hall, and they're demanding jobs and holding signs saying they are the 99%. They refuse police orders to stop blocking traffic. That's why they were hauled off. Several thousand people are here, including police in riot gear, protesters, and even union groups. The demonstration now marching to the Brooklyn Bridge, and police are ordering protesters to stay on the sidewalks or they too face arrests. The march to the Brooklyn Bridge, capping off the Occupy Wall Street's two-month anniversary that saw hundreds of arrests here and several injuries today. Chris?
All right. Thanks, Jeff. There's also late word of arrests in Minnesota where protesters tried to block a bridge in Minneapolis. The Obama administration's point man on green energy production gets a once-over from House Republicans at a Capitol Hill hearing.
Tennessee Republican Marsha Blackburn questions why the Energy Department doled out a loan guarantee to Solyndra despite financial red flags.
Why did you allow that company to continue to pull down millions of taxpayer dollars after you discovered the financial problems in that company?
Energy Secretary Stephen Chu says the $500 million loan was to help Solyndra build a new factory.
And if we had pulled the plug then, we were certain that Solyndra would go into bankruptcy.
Solyndra has filed for bankruptcy, a result Chu blames on unexpected declines in the solar energy industry. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
On Wall Street, another plunge in the Dow. This one 135 points to close at 11,771. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Fox News on your time.
The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad. Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows. Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist. Listen to Fox News Radio live. Get local weather forecasts. And it's all free. Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi. That's Fox News, the number 2, Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Knowledge.com.
An Idaho man facing the possibility of life in prison after being charged with trying to assassinate President Obama or his staff when he allegedly fired 9 shots at the White House last Friday when the president and first lady weren't there. 21-year-old Oscar Ortega Hernandez at his first court hearing today in Pennsylvania, where he was arrested yesterday. Police, people he knows in Idaho, saying the young man asserted that he, quote, needed to kill the president, who he believed was the devil. Well, it's been in the works for a while now. Toyota is celebrating its first car production in Mississippi.
Toyota's newest plant is in Blue Springs, Mississippi. It's been a long time coming. The opening delayed for about 5 years due to the weak economy. But Toyota president Akio Toyoda has told workers that the time is now right for production. Toyota spokesman Jim Weissman tells Fox News Radio it's their 10th plant in the U.S.
Our 14th plant in North America. Another 2,000 jobs here in Mississippi. It means we'll directly employ about 30,000 in the U.S.
The Corolla is now being made at the plant in the hills of North Mississippi. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
It's been bubbling near the surface for a while, and now it's official. It's Blitzville for Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore.
When they got married in 2005, people were critical of the age difference between them, saying it wouldn't last. Well, it didn't. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher are getting a divorce. The 49-year-old actress told the AP she's ending the marriage, saying that as a woman, a mother, and a wife, there are certain values and vows that she holds sacred, and it's in that spirit that she's chosen to move forward with her life. Kutcher is also moving forward.
I want you to know that I just flung myself in the ocean because I can't live without you.
The 33-year-old replaced Charlie Sheen on CBS's Two and a Half Men. Sabrina Sabah, Fox News Radio.
The House has passed a bill that averts another government shutdown, keeping the government in operation through December 16th. The Senate voting on it right now. And Herman Cain has become the first Republican presidential candidate to receive Secret Service protection. Cain requested this. You're listening to Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley.
Drive home with Wahoo. Keep your weeknight schedule firmly in place with three great shows at 5, 7, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Start consuming talk radio with college student Josh Kibe and the Kibecast, breaking down the day's stories like a pro. Weeknights at 5 p.m. Eastern. Followed immediately by Victor Michalowski, a whip-smart 16-year-old son of an immigrant who loves and appreciates this country, hosting Insane Government, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. And Dr. C. Roderick Jones brings his Marine officer experience, as well as a Ph.D. in history. Doc Jones hosts The Situation Report every weeknight from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And check out the website for plenty of great information, including articles published by the host. And you can get the entire WOW lineup at radio.waaumedia.com.
And welcome back. David Graham filling in for Dr. C. Robert Jones on the Situation Report. Very honored that he asks me to fill in, and appreciate you people sticking with me here through the break. What do you want to talk about? If you got anything else that you want to talk about, I pretty much put out what I wanted to talk about, other than the go-to stuff that I have. So what I have for your listening pleasure, live feed. Right. That's, you know what? That's the one I was talking about, reactionaries, the live feed. And that was that story that I talked about with the guy doing that human microphone thing or whatever it's called, the mic check. Don't you think that they need to refocus to real criminals getting away? And they get to set the rules. They get to set the laws. And they've set the laws that exempt themselves. Talk about setting yourself on a different level than the serfs, than the people, right? First, they exempt themselves from Obamacare. Remember that? They exempted themselves from Obamacare as a congressperson or a senator, as a member of the congressional branch. What else did they exempt themselves from? There was one other thing that I recall. I can't think of what it is. I can't remember it. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to think about it. But then there's this, where they have insider trading laws that where you and me would go to jail, but they don't have to. They don't have to worry about it. And not only that, see, the jig is up. This is the whole graft of the whole thing. They make the rule to exempt themselves, but they have access to the information. Plain and simple, they have access before the companies themselves have the information. They know that they're going to make a law that's going to affect such and such a company, so they're going to short out that stock. Well, then it tanks. They make their money. They know they're going to make. They know they're going to give Solyndra a loan, so they put into the Solyndra, and you know they get a almost $1 billion in loans. And by the way, there was something with that today. Stephen Chu, the energy secretary or whatever he is, was up before Congress today or yesterday, and they were asking him, now, you know, do you think that given, you know, almost $1 billion of Solyndra, do you now think that that was a wrong? And, you know, of course he danced around the question and ended up saying, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. That's all he said. All right, Hankish Twit. Should be just click the link. I'm on, whoops, on at 9. Oh, that's probably what happened to Addy, too. So anyways, yeah, just click the, all right, hold on. On at 9. All right, so sorry about that, folks. I had to, little, you know, some little maintenance things. People are checking out with me. All right, now I got another clip that I had today, and I want you to imagine a neutral voice, because you're going to recognize the voice. What I want you to do is pretend that this is a transcript that you're reading, okay? And this is everything that's going to be said here can be said today or whoever debates Obama.
I would like to ask the president, why is it inflationary to let the people keep more of their money and spend it the way they'd like? And it isn't inflationary to let him take that money and spend it the way he wants. Since then, he has blamed to the people for inflation, OPEC. He's blamed the Federal Reserve System. He has blamed the lack of productivity, the American people. He has then accused the people of living too well, and that we must share in scarcity, we must sacrifice and get used to doing with less. We don't have inflation because the people are living too well. We have inflation because the government is living too well. So I think this idea that has been spawned here in our country, that inflation somehow came upon us like a plague and therefore it's uncontrollable and no one can do anything about it, is entirely spurious, and it's dangerous to say this to the people. And inflation went down below the national average in California when we returned money to the people and reduced government spending. When he was a candidate in 1976, President Carter invented a thing he called the misery index. He added the rate of unemployment and the rate of inflation, and it came at that time to 12.5 under President Ford. And he said that no man with that size misery index had a right to seek re-election to the presidency. Today, by his own decision, the misery index is in excess of 20%. Now, the president spoke a moment ago about that I was against the minimum wage. I wish he could have been with me when I sat with a group of teenagers who were black and who were telling me about their unemployment problems and that it was the minimum wage that had done away with the jobs that they once could get. And indeed, every time it has increased, you will find that there is an increase in minority unemployment among young people. And for the Mr. Carter to suggest that I want to do away with the safety laws and with the laws that pertain to clean water and clean air and so forth, as governor of California, I took charge of passing the strictest air pollution laws in the United States, the strictest air quality law that has ever been adopted in the United States, and we created an OSHA, an Occupational Safety and Health Agency for the Protection of Employees, before the federal government had one in place, and to this day, not one of its decisions or rulings has ever been challenged. So I think some of those charges are missing the point. I am suggesting that there are literally thousands of unnecessary regulations that invade every facet of business and indeed very much of our personal lives that are unnecessary, that government can do without, that have added $130 billion to the cost of production in this country, and that are contributing their part to inflation. And I would like to see us a little more free as we once were. Free enterprise can do a better job of producing the things that people need.
Every one of these.
Than government can.
Every one of these things.
The Department of Energy has a multi-billion dollar budget in excess of $10 billion.
Every point that he's making can be made today. The same, with the same intensity, with the same, actually with more intensity. They imply even more.
When it is energy rich.
I'll give you a few more.
The president mentioned, yes, we have it, and yet 1/8 of our total coal resources is not being utilized at all right now. The mines are closed down. There are 22,000 miners out of work. Most of this is due to regulations which either interfere with the mining of it or prevent the burning of it. With our modern technology, yes, we can burn our coal within the limits of the Clean Air Act. I think as technology improves, we'll be able to do even better with that. Nuclear power, there were 36 power plants planned in this country.
All right. You get the point on that? How many of those did he just tick off that it directly applies to today? Sure. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. All right. Thank you. G-Ski, thank you very much for taking care of that. G-Ski is going to start my show at 9 to help me cover the overlap so when I can log out and log in from Doc Show. Thank you. This is the situation report. Thank you. This is the situation report. Dr. C. Robert Jones. He will he'll be back tomorrow. He's on the road right now. Asked me to fill in, and you know, of course, I definitely want to do everything I can. He's done a lot for me, and you know, he has a lot of faith in me, and I just appreciate it quite a bit. And you know, he's like I said, he's done a lot for me, and he's kind of taken me under his wing to some degree. And like G-Ski says, the family of people here at Blog Talk Radio, on the conservative side, the people that you know how like attracts like, you know, where I've listened to a lot of shows, but I don't listen to a lot of shows anymore. I've pretty much found everybody that I want to listen to on Blog Talk Radio. I'm openly campaigning for internet radio to grow, and one of the ways that I'm doing that is this right here.
People come to internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that they get from their TV. Or some may want their talk radio a little more raw. Well, that's what you get with internet talk radio. Real people with real opinions that give you real conversation. It's not your daddy's talk radio. And it's for people who stay informed and a great way to share ideas and debate issues. Well, let's just say that internet talk radio hosts don't sit in front of the makeup mirror before they go on the air. Internet talk radio is a fast-growing new media that allows folks to get around the dinosaur media. We are America United. It's a network of patriotic radio hosts bringing you honest discussion and discourse to keep you riveted all day. Check out radio.waaumedia.com.
So anyways, you know, like I was saying, Doc Jones has kind of, you know, kind of embraced me, and Tesla is another one, really embraced me, taking me in, and now I've been able to expand that, you know, that reach with some people that I've kind of adopted, I don't know, I don't know how to put it, brought him into to the circle. Let's put it that way. Jeezy is one of them. I've got I'm going to offer Dana Smearman. I'm going to bring him into the Wahoo Media Network. He's going to end up on with a show opposite or not opposite, but right before Tesla's show on Sunday. He does a once a week show. His show is the Conservative Watchtower. I recommend it. It's a great show. He's been off for a few weeks, but he's back and he's raring to get going. But listen, what I want to do right now is I want to get into I want to segue a little bit into what I'm going to be talking about on my show. I have a guest coming on. His name is Usama Dakdok, and he is. It sounds like a funny name, but he is an Egyptian Coptic Christian. He has a ministry called the Straightway Ministries. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. I hope I don't make a mistake. But he speaks Arabic. Obviously, he also speaks English. But what he's done is he noticed that most of the translations to English of the Quran are done by Muslims. And by virtue of the fact that they're translating to English, that loosely means America, okay? The West. And people in the West do not live the way people in the Middle East live. So much of the translation to English by Muslims has actually been watered down so that people don't get scared off so quickly. and that they can, you know, they're following they're doing their job. It's you know, taqiyya. They're furthering the cause of Islam. Well, anyways, he has translated the Quran completely start to finish. And it's much more literal translation because he speaks Arabic too. And I have got a clip from their last show. The guy that you're going to hear most from on the clip, his name is Christian Prince. I do plan to have him on the show also because they each have books that they have that, you know, to promote. They each do a show. Well, they don't each do a show. They do a show together. Let's put it this way: on Blog Talk Radio, they do a show Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's called Revealing the Truth About Islam. And I have bragged about their show by saying they try to goad Muslims to call in so that they can debate them. They insult the prophet to try to get somebody mad enough to call in. And they can back it up. I mean, they don't just do it for the sake of doing it. It's not like a Yamama joke, you know, or anything. It's they can back it up. They can go chapter and verse. And they also each of them knows the Bible, you know, really, really well inside and out, you know, all the tricks and all the moves. And they're usually a few moves ahead. What I want to do is I want to give like a little preview. G-Ski's put the link to my show that's coming up at in just a few minutes. I'm going to be switching over to that one. And I want to give you just a little taste of what kind of thing. All right. Thank you. Thank you, G-Ski. I want to just to give a taste of what I'm talking about. The first voice that you're going to hear is the guy who I'm going to have on. His name is Usama Dakdok. They finally, because they never get a Muslim to call in because they're all too scared to call in. Well, last Saturday they had a Muslim call in. And what I did is I lifted off that show, and I'm going to play it for Usama tonight. I lifted off of that show. It's like about 2 minutes. And it's how the guy entered the room. This is how he entered the conversation. All right. So the first, like I said, the absolute first voice that you hear is Usama Dakdok. And then most of it after that is Christian Prince and the caller, Abu Usama or something. I don't know what his name. But just listen to this as a little taste.
Abu Usama would like to speak to you, CB.
Okay, no problem. I think they can come along.
Problem.
Yeah, Christian Prince, can you hear me?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
I was wondering, when we implement the Sharia, how do you want to be killed? Do you want the neck, like, straight sliced off?
Okay. Now, let me just say, they had planned a show on Sharia in America. Sharia law in America, and they were going to talk about it for the whole show. Well, about 15-20 minutes or so into the show, this guy called in, and he was there the whole rest of the time. I started over. Now listen up.
Abu Usama would like to speak to you, CB.
Okay, no problem. They can come along.
Yeah, Christian Prince, can you hear me?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
I was wondering, when we implement the Sharia, how do you want to be killed? Do you want the neck, like, straight sliced off?
I don't know. You know, for me, I prefer to be shish kebab. I don't know if you have different options.
Abu Usama, can you get a little bit serious and tell us what you call?
I want to see if you're making a threat.
No,
it's coming. He's asking
if it's a threat, Mr. Abu Usama.
Death promise, not threat, promise.
Oh, that's a promise. So you are promising me to kill me?
No, I said when they implement Sharia.
Yeah?
I didn't say it was going to be me. I'm just saying when the Muslims implement the Sharia, you're not going to be able to pray jizya. For you, it's just a straight sword to the neck.
Yeah, but I'm asking you, aren't you a part of Islamic Sharia law and you will practice Sharia too?
I'm not going to be the one doing it, so don't worry about it.
Why? Are you a coward? Are you ashamed of your religion? Why do you want to do it?
No, I'm not ashamed. I'm ashamed of my religion.
No. Tell me why you don't want to do it. Are you a coward to do it?
No, because there's people that are specialized in this type of thing. I don't want to do something I'm not specialized in.
Are you saying you are so foo-foo, you are so coward to do such a thing? You are the one that's telling me about it, but you don't do it. But why?
Because you are scared.
You are scared to say right on air, I'm going to keep, if I get a chance to do so. You are a coward. Be a man and say it.
The thing is, I want the reward for my brother. So I'm going to let him do it.
So that's a little taste of that show, and believe me, there was when Usama Dakdok was on the show, he was begging Christian Prince, just let me have him for another few seconds, let me ask him this, let me ask him that. So you know what, I gotta wrap it up because I gotta get going to my other show. I got about 90 seconds left. And, I appreciate you guys sticking with me. Tesla, Reactionaries, G-Ski was in until just a few minutes ago. Anyways, I appreciate you guys sticking with me. What's he say? He usually gives a shout-out to everybody. But we got a low turnout tonight. So I will see you guys in a few minutes over at 2020 Radio. Thank you all very much. Thank you.